All hail Curtis Sliwa. All hail Curtis Sliwa. On this beautiful Happy Hump episode, Wednesday morning, 6:31 in New York City. Welcome back to the best talk show anywhere in the country. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Angelia by Richard Marx getting us going this morning. But again, after a full day of politics on the station yesterday, today promises to be the same, right? Yesterday was the preview. Today will be the recap. Curtis Sliwa, who did join us yesterday, in fact, both candidates, Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo, joined us yesterday. Curtis Sliwa, our colleague and friend for many years, the man, of course, who started the Guardian Angels, he is New York City personified, went out there yesterday, and he didn't defeat Fernando Mateo. He didn't beat him. He took Fernando to the woodshed. He mauled him. This was a blowout win, over 70% of the vote going to Curtis Sliwa. This one was never in doubt, never in doubt. So, of course, we start this Wednesday morning with a hearty congratulations to our good buddy, Curtis Sliwa.
Our good buddy, colleague, a good guy, hero, actually, Curtis Sliwa. Yeah, this was like the other night, the Islanders getting
8-0.
8-0
Tampa
defeat.
Bay, yeah. Yes. Funny you would bring them up. They got game six at the barn later on tonight.
Very exciting.
Yes.
But no, seriously, Curtis Sliwa, look, this is the way I look at it. Of course, on the other side, the Democrat side, Eric Adams leading by 10 points.
He's going to win.
But Andrew Yang dropped out because he thought he couldn't win. He came in fourth. Now, if with this ranked choice voting, if Maya Wiley and Catherine Garcia's people thought that they couldn't win, they would drop out as well. They would concede. They wouldn't waste their time.
They're in second place. They're not going to win.
This. Remember what I said. Oakland, California. The person who got the most votes on election day.
I know.
Did not win the race.
Yeah, Adams is going to win. It's Curtis versus Adams.
I know.
Telling you, it's over. Well, they're 10 points back. I know that they can still win if they're getting up second and third place votes.
Well,
but it's over.
Explain this ranked choice voting to us, then.
You get points, 5 points for first place, 4 points for second place, 3 points for third place. So if you add up all those points and you get enough second and third place point finishes, you can beat the number one guy. But I'm 99% sure that Eric Adams got first place votes, second place votes, third place votes. He's not going to lose. He's going to win this. So I understand they're in second, they're 10 points back, and the Oakland story is a good one. He's not going to lose.
Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't over on the Democrat side. But here's what I'm saying. For Curtis Sliwa's sake, we should hope that Maya Wiley wins, because then there will be a stark contrast between a law and order candidate like Curtis Sliwa and a weasel, a scam artist, a phony, who lives in a $2.7 million house with private security, sends her kids to private school. I mean, there will be a real good, stark choice. I think it would give Curtis Sliwa the edge.
Well, I don't disagree.
We should hope that Maya Wiley actually wins this Democrat race over Eric Adams, even though she's trailing by 10 points.
10 points. We can hope for a lot of things, but let's talk about this in realistic terms, and that is that in all likelihood, it's going to be Curtis versus Eric. So I agree with you about Maya Wiley, but she's not going to win. So Curtis versus Eric Adams, does he have a chance to win that?
Curtis versus Eric.
That's a question I've been asked 100 times this morning.
I don't think so.
Really?
No. I don't think he does. I will root for him, of course, like you will, like we all will here at 77 WABC for our colleague and great guy. But over Eric Adams, I mean, they essentially are espousing the same thing. Law and order, former cop. I know all the intricacies, the negatives, the downsides about Eric Adams. But you're talking about the common denominator nitwits out there who pull the lever or whatever they do these days. You know what's so ridiculous? They don't even start to count the mail-in ballots until June 29th.
I saw that.
Until June 29th.
There's another
start.
There's another date for absentee ballots on July 7th.
Yeah, so this is why, I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's stupid. It's a farce that we have to wait a month before we find out officially who wins on the Democrat side. And again, those mail-in ballots, those are going to be a factor as far as, these results go on the Democrat side. Again, like you said, Curtis put an exclamation point on his victory. But listen, Fernando Mateo, Not a bad guy. He's a good guy, actually. Good guy, said the right things, and I think he would have made a good mayor, much better than anybody on the Democrat side.
Agreed.
He's in the rearview mirror now. It is Curtis Sliwa.
It is, and if you're wondering what Curtis Sliwa is doing this morning to celebrate his win, of course, last night at my buddy Jack's place, Empire Steakhouse, there was a big party, and everybody was there, John and Margo Katzenmatidis and Rudy Giuliani and a host of others. If you're wondering what Curtis Sliwa is doing this morning to celebrate, you're going to find out because Curtis just texted me, and it looks like he's going to join us at 7:05 on the day
of this
morning. All right. How about that?
Hey, Curtis.
How about that? So we'll talk to the man himself. We've also got Joe Borelli coming on today. He's another great guy, super young politician out of Staten Island. I guess Congressman Peter King, he may stop by too?
Correct.
So we got a monster show coming your way with a couple of real heavy hitters on this Wednesday morning. The number is always 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Again, Curtis Sliwa, he'll be here at 7:05 to celebrate his victory. Councilman out of Staten Island, Joe Borelli, coming up at 7:40. Congressman Peter King coming up at 8:40. We've got you covered.
Stay informed with Bernie and Sid in the morning on 77 WABC.
Tell me what's wrong with you now. Tell me why I never seem to make you happy. Oh, heaven knows I try. What does it take to please you? Satisfy your woman, you're driving me wild. Break up to make up.
Folks, go to WABCRadio.com right now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of us, Bernie and Sid in the morning, right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. I'm enjoying a hot cup of it right now as we speak to you folks. Register now and good luck. Again, Curtis Sliwa will join us coming up at 7:05, fresh off of the win yesterday. He had a big win. You know, one other person yesterday had a pretty big win, and talking to Frank and Vin this morning on his show, it is a complete shock to this point, and that is Brad Lander. I know most folks are not following the city comptroller race all that closely. We did have a debate here at WABC a couple of weeks ago, but it looked like the overwhelming favorite was former city councilman Corey Johnson. He was supposed to walk home with this easily, and he's getting his bell rung here by Brad Lander. So that seems to be, at least early this morning, yesterday's shock of the day.
Yeah, and the choice between the two of them, really, I think I may have said this before, it's between Bin Laden and Baghdadi,
oh my God.
Essentially. I mean, they're two far-left wackos. Corey Johnson has no business running for control. He's got no financial background whatsoever. I have no idea who the hell Brad Lander is. I do know this, though. I saw a conga line of far left crazies. Gerald Wadler, the lady from the Hamas squad, AOC, Pocahontas, Liz Warren, all endorsing Brad Lander, which told me he's a horrible choice.
Right.
But Corey Johnson was no better. And we know that already. And, again, no financial experience. Maybe this Lander guy, maybe he has got a degree in accounting or something that might give him some credibility. But still, he's a far-left wacko is what he is, because based on the endorsements I saw on TV.
And, of course, my streets up on the Upper West Side littered with Manhattan DA candidates all weekend long. I couldn't walk two blocks without being accosted by somebody. I always answer the same way. I'm like, listen, I'm a Republican. And they move away from me like I have some type of communicable disease. They just they go the other way. I'm a Republican.
Well, listen, they're not may not be far far off.
I know. But it looks like Alvin Bragg, another guy we spent very little time talking about. We talked about Tali Weinstein. We talked about the Tushy Lady. But very little talk about Alvin Bragg, but looks like he's going to win that race.
Yes.
Is he for getting rid of this ridiculous, you know, the no cash bail, all that nonsense?
I haven't a clue. I mean, they're all crazy left. He's probably backed by Soros as well. I know that Tali Weinstein, who came in second, and this is the only one that's not ranked choice voting. So this guy will win outright.
He's going to win.
Again, yeah. Corey Johnson, still, he's losing, but may still be in the red. I don't know. We don't know with this ranked choice voting.
And our friend Letitia Romero, I said this to Frank this morning, running for Staten Island Borough President. She only got about 10% of the vote. It looks like Vito Fosella is going to win that, although there's another guy that's right behind him there. It's a decent race, I guess, but Vito's in the lead. But I did say, well, that's what happens. Vito got endorsements from Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. Letitia, Bernie and Sid.
That's too bad. She was, look, I've seen Vito Fisella speak, and he's great. He really is good. He had some trouble in the past. I remember it well. I saw the mugshots, whatever. But people deserve second chances.
Absolutely.
I mean, he didn't kill anybody.
Nope.
So he'll make a great borough president. He'll make a very good borough. But Letitia Romero, I mean, she was terrific as well, and she was a fighter. Yet, you got some heavy hitters like Trump and Giuliani backing you in Staten Island. That's the way it goes.
No, it looks pretty good for Rudy here. He endorsed Fisella, and Vito looks like he's going to win that, although there's one other gentleman right behind him. And, of course, lots of pictures this morning with Curtis Sliwa, who's going to join us at 7:05, celebrating his win at Empire Steakhouse last night with Rudy Giuliani standing right next to him. So it looks like Rudy still has a lot of pull in this city.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the face of, lowering crime in a horrible atmosphere. I mean, as we know, it's Rudy Giuliani. He's the poster boy for getting rid of crime in major cities. So, it stands Curtis in good stead, if you will, that Rudy Giuliani is standing right next to him.
Curtis Sliwa again coming up here at 7:05, fresh off that big win last night. Also coming up at 9:40, Pete Morgan and Peerless Spoilers. Pete, Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug that comes your way at 9:40. 6:47, a sunshine splashed Wednesday morning here in New York City.
Now, stay entertained and informed with Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Time, I've been passing time, watching trains go by. All of my life, lying on the sand, watching seabirds fly.
So you remember those mornings in the early 2000s, Bernard, when you and I worked together on IMUS? Now, most mornings when we went out the night before, I didn't show up the next day because I was holed up in a hotel room or something, but Bernie would always show up. But there were a couple times where I did show up after a night at the Hustler Club, maybe on the West Side Highway or some party that we went to for IMUS. I don't know. John O'Halloran today looks like you and I used to look.
Yeah.
On some of those days.
He brought it on himself.
He did?
He agreed to do things.
Why?
He covered the Yankees or something for WABC.
No, he's going to the Yankee game today. He was supposed to cover Andrew Yang last night. Nice job by Yang, by the way.
Oh, when he said to me, Yang, yeah, I thought he said Yanks.
No, he's going to the Yankee game tomorrow.
All right. I'm all right.
Yeah.
I got to quit the drugs.
So he was supposed to cover Yang, who was a not much of a competitor in this race, but they had him doing some other nonsense. What'd you do last night?
I was with the DA's race with the Weinstein campaign over in Times Square.
So they had a party? What was it?
They did, yeah. She came in. Well, right now, the race is still going on. They haven't declared a winner yet. She hasn't conceded. She's like 3% behind. Yeah, they had a big party up there. She spoke.
Well, what did you do?
Interviews.
Did you get audio from her? Did you interview her? What'd you do?
I didn't get a chance to interview her. I interviewed a lot of other people with her campaign.
Essentially, he got bumped.
So wait a second.
He went from Yang to Weinstein.
Well, they put Lauren Conlon on Yang, which if you haven't heard yet, Lauren Conlon ambushed Andrew Yang right after he conceded.
Who did?
And just Lauren Conlon.
The red carpet rendezvous?
Yes. She and then just stuck a phone in his face, and he was on the air with Rita and Dom for like 30 seconds. He had no idea who he was talking to.
Oh, that's funny.
It was actually really funny.
Hey, listen, you act shocked, but I mean, what is a journalist is a journalist. She can segue from entertainment to politics. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's essentially what she does. You stick a microphone in somebody's face and say, how do you feel about losing?
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I mean, who am I to talk? I went from talking about Eli Manning and Carmelo Anthony every day to stuff like this.
And she's very good.
She's good at it.
She is. Speaking of that, Yang did concede. Let's listen to his concession speech. I don't know why he conceded. I think it may be, there may be some Machiavellian reason why he conceded to screw Eric Adams. I'm very, very suspicious and skeptical of this whole ranked choice voting. Anyway, listen to his concession speech.
I am not going to be the next mayor of New York City based upon the numbers that have come in tonight. I am conceding this race, though we're not sure ultimately who the next mayor is going to be, but whoever that person is, I will be very happy to work with them to help improve the lives of the 8.3 million people who live in our great city. And I would urge everyone here to do the same.
So here's my conspiracy theory, is that they got really nasty between him and Eric Adams. Got
true.
Very, very nasty. There's
true.
No reason for him to have conceded last night.
What do you mean? He's getting killed.
Well, but either way, he was still, I mean, with this ranked choice voting,
he
probably couldn't win. You're right. But why concede? In other words, maybe he sees a path for one of the other two ladies, like Maya Wiley, because he wants to screw Eric Adams, who accused Andrew Yang of racism.
I hear you. You are definitely, this ranked choice thing has you coming up with
I do not trust it.
I think he's just a prideful guy, and he got absolutely slapped across the face. And it's just good to take your ball and go home.
Or he's got, he sees a way to get back at the guy who accused you of racism.
It's a good question.
Eric Adams actually disgracefully, because Yang teamed up with Garcia on Juneteenth. He says, they teamed up on Juneteenth against me. That makes him a racist.
True.
I mean, Eric Adams actually said that.
I know he did.
That's absolutely disgusting.
I know.
And if you're Andrew Yang and you're a liberal, that stings. That hurts.
Yeah.
And even Maya Wiley came out and said, no. Hey, Eric, what they did was just strategy. They were strategizing. There was no racism there. But yet, nevertheless, Eric went down that road. It was really, really surprised and disappointed me.
Agreed. I'm with you 100%. Stephen Mateo, I guess, is the guy on Staten Island who was right there neck and neck with Vito Fosella. Vito's at like 42%, Mateo 41%, and our friend Letitia Romero about 13.5%. So that's the other name, Stephen Mateo on Staten Island, who's giving Vito Fosella a pretty good race. Don't forget, coming up at the very top of next hour is 7:05, fresh off his easy win last night. Now, the GOP candidate for mayor in this city.
Now, stay entertained and informed with Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. We're going to talk to the winner, the undisputed champion of the Republican mayoral primary, Curtis Sliwa. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk to also Joe Borelli, city councilman. We'll talk to Congressman Peter King, hopefully, in the 8 o'clock hour to assess the election that went down last night. And also, there's a lot of other things. Joe Biden's going to make a big crime, anti-crime proposal today. It's going to be ridiculous. The first thing he should do is fire all his staffers that bailed out looters, and then fire Kamala Harris. She herself encouraged people to bail out looters, just directed them to a site where they could do that. That would be A. But he's going to focus on guns, as though we have a gun problem. We don't have a gun problem, imbecile in chief. We have a crime problem. Anyway, that is coming up today. Also, IKEA in trouble for Juneteenth and watermelons. Yeah, that's right. On the Bernie and Sid Show.
New York, Bernie and Sid in the Morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Oh, tomorrow finds you. When some sad old dream reminds you how the endless road unwinds you. While you see your chance, take it. Long romance, take it. Because it's all on you.
While you see a chance, take it. Steve Winwood, our next guest, certainly saw a chance, and man, did he take it in a big, big way with an easy win yesterday over his competitor, Fernando Mateo, on the GOP side of the mayoral race. Just took him to the woodshed. 70%+ of the vote. An incredible day for our colleague and co-worker, Curtis Sliwa, who now it's down to two. whether it's him and Eric Adams, which it will be in all likelihood, or Maya, one of these people get a win, it's going to be Eric. It's down to two. And he's got a real chance now being mayor of this city. And he's the guy we need to restore a semblance of normalcy. He got us back to where we were when guys like Rudy Giuliani and Mayor Bloomberg ran this city and not this moron we've got right now, Bill de Blasio. So with that said, here he is, fresh off his knockout win yesterday. Our version of Rocky, the great Curtis Sliwa. Good morning, Curtis.
Oh, good morning, Sid, and good morning, Bernie.
Curtis,
the mission begins, Bernie. The mission begins.
Let's do it.
To restore the police. Let's start with turning what has become zeros. That's because of Bill de Blasio and his city council and AOC, all out crazy. They turn heroes into zeros. It's now time to reverse that. Police are going to be heroes again. And you know what we're starting with first? Qualified immunity. We are reestablishing that for the police. They will be protected like every other civil servant, like the mayor is, like Governor Cuomo is, like judges, like district attorneys. They should not have to go out and get their own personal police liability insurance plan. Oh, no, we're reversing the tide. And Eric Adams fought to remove qualified immunity from the police that he claims he loves. That is a lie, and I'm taking it to him from day one.
Nice. Well, let's get back to yesterday for a second. Not to compare, but I did win the presidency in my high school. I had a brilliant slogan. I used to bring in a thermos in with my Chef Boyardee ravioli, and I said, if you want a president who will be the thermos, vote for the guy with the red and black thermos, and that got me an easy win, and I felt pretty good about myself. But that was just to be president of Solomon Schechter High School. You will now have a chance to be mayor of New York City. Were you surprised, Curtis Sliwa, that you won in that fashion, that handily over Mateo yesterday?
Wait a second, Sid. I didn't know you were a Booker boy.
Of course.
You were the president of Yeshiva High School?
Well, Solomon Schechter, yes. And one of the early decisions I made, because I was running everything, including the finances, was I took the money that we raised for our yearbook and I bought pot with it for our senior trip down in Fort Lauderdale.
You know, I'm going to basically say that there is no statute of limitation on that. My Department of Investigation will issue subpoenas.
What?
Let's see the spreadsheet. Yes. Old Testament. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
You're funny.
We will get our vengeance on you.
You are funny. No, but seriously, were you surprised that you beat him that badly yesterday?
No. Because remember, Sid and Bertie, and you knew this, because I was out with Tom Sullivan and began a 72-hour tour of Republican areas in the five boroughs on that old-school political float, you know, with the bunting, with the posters. And all along the way, Republicans were coming out. Now, Fernando Mateo was dropping bombs on me. I was listening to WABC, which at one time always stood for Always Broadcasting Curtis, and you turned it into the Fernando Mateo Network for 4 days. I mean, everything and anything that Fernando Mateo and his supporters could say about me was said in commercial form or in his own personal appearances. But I knew it wasn't having an impact at all out there amongst those who are going to go to the polls, because I was out there busting my shoes with them. And today I reach out to Fernando. I say, look, we've known each other for 40 years, as Bernie so beautifully put it yesterday. We're both from the streets. We both have a better touch with common men, common women, than Eric Adams, Wiley, or any of the Democrats, including Andrew Yang. He's going to go back to New Paltz where he belongs, that fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi New Yorker. And I'm going to hopefully sit down with him. We're going to unify the Republican Party. And now it's on to victory in November.
Yeah, I like what I hear. Curtis Sliwa, the undisputed champion of the Republican primary here in New York City for mayor. Curtis, listen, put on your radio host, your analyst hat, if you will, with this, the Democrat side. It's ranked choice voting. First of all, they don't even start counting the mail-in ballots until like June 29th, I believe is the date. And then you have this ranked choice voting. Maya Wiley has come in second. At this point, I think it's Eric Adams 31%, Maya Wiley 22%. So my question to you is this. A, does Maya Wiley have a chance with this convoluted ranked choice voting? And B, don't you think she'd better be a better candidate for you to go up against, because she's a stark contrast to what you stand for? You and Eric Adams stand for a lot of the same things, the qualified immunity notwithstanding. So what do you think? Maya Wiley would be a better candidate, a better opponent for you to go up against, and does she have a chance?
Well, look, she's a clone of AOC, all-out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They want to take even more money out of the police budget, and she wants to take guns away from cops. Not from criminals. She wants to take it away from cops.
Right.
Look, I'm prepared to run against anyone who survives the ranked choice system. It's like down in Florida. Sid, you remember down in Boca Raton, the sixth borough of the city of New York, yeah, when alpacas would sit there playing bingo, you know, and they fill out their bingo chart before they go for the Bluebird special. Let them knock themselves out, whether it's Garcia, Wiley, whether it is Eric Adams. I'm prepared from day one. And guess where I'm going to celebrate tonight, Sid and Bernie, and bring together my supporters who are out there busting their shoes. Figure the one place in the world where Curtis Sliwa would honor his many supporters who work 24/7, 365.
I'm trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out. What is it?
The subways.
John said,
the subways.
Where are you from?
The subways.
Where am I from? Brooklyn. It's off the L&B Spumoni.
Oh!
and to have Lenny talk to us for like hours on end about the Curtis Sliwa that he knew growing up in Canarsie, Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, those bastards maybe went online a couple years ago, so I stopped going, to be honest, even though the pizza's the best in all of New York. L&B, Spumoni Gardens for Curtis Sewell later on tonight. You know, Curtis, you talk a lot about crime, and of course that's the major issue in this city. And we spoke about this with Rudy Giuliani yesterday. But schools is another. That is a major problem. And Eric Adams seems to be the only one on the other side that is okay with charter schools. I would say second to crime is the school issue in this city. When you win mayor, what can people count on that you will do with schools?
No, wait a second. Eric Adams, as he commented on critical race theory, guys.
I haven't heard. No.
Oh, of course not. Come on. This is the guy who supported Farrakhan years ago. This is the guy who now wants to basically say to every Jewish constituent out there and pander to them, come on, Sid, you're not going to fall for this.
No, I'm not. No.
I want to do Aliyah in Israel. I want to retire to Israel in the Golan Heights.
Right.
I want to know what each of these Democrats are going to do about critical race theory, because the day I'm sworn into office, I'm going down to the DOE, Department of Education, and I'm eliminating it. This bloated bureaucracy that spends $30 billion, and yet teachers have to reach into their pockets and buy the supplies for the children in their classes. That is un disgraziata, that's a shanda, and there will never, ever, ever be critical race theory and pit our children against one another by race or ethnic group. Am I saying it clear enough, guys?
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard anything from the Democrats about that.
No, that's a great point. That's a hot topic, a big issue, a huge issue, actually, all across the country right now. And I'd like to hear more from you in the future on it as well, Curtis Sliwa. But in the meantime, I want to ask you about this question. You have the crime, the schools, and this is connected to crime, of course. You've talked about compassion for the homeless. Andrew Yang, during the Democrat mayoral debate, actually said the most cogent thing I heard on the homeless. We need to create some new psych beds and start institutionalizing some of these people who need to be institutionalized, who are punching old ladies in the face on the street, knocking them out cold. These are crazy people. What are you going to do about the homeless? I mean, are you going to create psych beds, as Andrew Yang said we should?
You know, Bernie and Sid, you've actually seen me work with the emotionally disturbed persons and the homeless people, many of them who live in Penn Station or the subway stations or the parks or the streets. I have a special affinity for them. When I announced back on March 15th, a lot of people said, oh, my God, they're all here for your press conference. They were hugging me. We were talking to one another. They need their medication. They need to be in mental health facilities, but they need to be treated like normal human beings. They need to be given dignity. And remember, what I'm going to do number one first is find out where the $1.25 billion taken from the taxpayers by Comrade Bill de Blasio and his wife Charlene, who are in a drug-induced psychosis from smoking too much Maui Wowie and Hindu Kush, where is the money for Thrive? That was supposed to be used for the emotionally disturbed persons. I'm going to want an audit. I'm issuing subpoenas. I know there's going to be indictments. And then get the silver bracelets out, because I've got a lovey-dovey father and mother cell in Punk City protective custody in Rikers Island, where they can be housed before they go to trial. Yeah. Show me the money. It's going to be spent for the people who need it, the emotionally disturbed.
Lock her up.
Beautiful. Curtis, listen, we are so happy for you, so proud of you. We endorsed you in a big, big way, talked about you every day. And believe me when I tell you, we are as excited as anybody in this city about your victory yesterday. So Godspeed. Enjoy Spumoni Gardens later on tonight. Give Lenny my best. And let's get ready for the next win over Eric Adams. How does that sound?
Yeah, why don't you tell Eric Adams or Wiley or Garcia, they can meet me in the subway, because, guys, you know I ride the subway each day. I don't talk about it. I don't just say, oh, this is what should be done. I live it. Curtis Sliwa is New York. You cut my veins and arteries, I bleed NYC. Come on. Come on, all of you contenders. I'm ready to take you on.
Plus, you live in the city, unlike Eric Adams, lives across the river.
Fort Lee, New Jersey.
In Garden State.
Right, although Bo denies that. Anyway, we love you, Curtis. Congratulations. There he is, folks. Fresh off his pounding of Fernando Mateo, we should say. He is your GOP candidate for mayor coming up in November. Our colleague and friend, the great
Curtis
Sliwa. Still to come. Well, Bill O'Reilly's coming up next with his message of the day, but we'll still talk to Joe Borelli out on Staten Island, Congressman Peter King out on Long Island, and I put the invitation out to Eric Adams as well. We'll see for the 100th time if Mr. Adams actually shows up. Bernie and Sid, the Wednesday edition. We'll be right back.
This is Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
Sheryl Crow talking about her favorite mistake at 7:28 on this gorgeous Wednesday morning. Bernie, I saw Bernie on the street. You know, oftentimes I come in so early to do the sports with Frank and Juliet, and I have like a half hour in between each sports update. So I put on my sappy music, you know, my David Soul, my Carpenters, my Neil Diamond, and because I'm one of those hopeless romantics, I'm always upset about something. And I just walk the streets, and lately I've been walking into Bernie as he comes in the morning. And he looks beautiful today, wearing his blue Joseph Aboud suit. And he reminded me, because I don't download the station website on my phone. I just don't. I don't want to be bothered. So I don't get any emails from the bosses. None. So I go, man, you look great today. And he goes, well, we're taking headshots today. I'm like, we are? He's like, well, don't you check your company email? I go, no, I don't do that. No. So, but you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. I also have I would have looked this way. The headshots notwithstanding, I just found that out last night. I would have looked this way anyway, because I have something sad to do today.
Sad story.
I have to go to a wake.
Yeah.
The opioid epidemic, fentanyl, flowing into this country across the borders.
Yeah.
It's affected somebody in my extended family, and my son's fiance's brother passed away. OD.
Oh,
they found him dead on Saturday.
Sorry.
The day of her bridal shower.
Oh.
And so today is the poor kid's wake.
I'm sorry.
And anyway, that's really why I'm dressed like this. Not necessarily the headshot that I found out last night. But it serves both purposes,
well,
I guess.
So that's why.
Either way, that's a real thing. 81,000 people died last year of overdoses. 81,000.
Oh, I know.
And nobody cares.
That's why the border is a big deal.
That's right.
A very, very big deal. And that's why Donald Trump did a great job with that. And the guy that's in charge now, who's about to, I know, speak on crime, he's going to talk about guns as if guns pull the triggers themselves. This idiot and his VP are doing nothing about it. And tragedies like you are going through now is the outcome of things, believe it or not, like not strengthening the border.
Exactly right. They have it has real consequences. I'm not going to politicize a personal thing like that, but it does have it affects real people, real families. I mean, there's a family right now that's in such pain. I can't even describe it to you. It's just awful, 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 awful. Yeah. So he's going to speak, and as you heard Bill O'Reilly in his report. Joe Biden's going to focus on guns. He's going to focus on guns. He should do the first thing he should do is fire his staffers that urge people to bail out looters. That's A. He should fire a classless, cackling Kamala for urging people to bail out looters, for directing them to websites that where they could contribute money to bail out looters. That's the first thing he should do. And then forget about guns. Guns are inanimate objects. It's people. We have a problem with people murdering. I mean, the guy who stabbed Eric Adams' campaign ad, with an ice pick, he obviously didn't have a gun. He had an ice pick. I mean, so it's people doing these things. And, it's defund the police. It's defaming and defunding the police. All these things. That's what he should focus on. The no cash bail. Call out these Democrat mayors. Obviously, he's not going to do any of that stuff. He's just going to, and he'll talk, as Bill said, about systemic racism, talk about, fatherlessness in black communities. I mean, because while a majority of victims are black, all the perps are black, pretty much. I'm sorry, but that's just a fact.
That's
just
true.
We're not doing black people a favor by ignoring this. What's conspicuous out there. Forget the white supremacist hoax. Let's focus on, you want to talk about root causes? Let's focus on the root cause of what's happening. What is going on? That Puerto Rican couple, who, by the way, they were not black, this Puerto Rican couple, that crowd that shot them in cold blood in Chicago, and then just nobody helped them while they were lying bleeding on the floor. I mean, what is going on? What is happening I mentioned it yesterday, defining deviancy down. We're going to say, oh, well, that's okay. That's acceptable behavior. I mean, so we're just going to accept it as some sort of normal but behavior on some people's parts. I just don't understand it. That's what we have to confront, and nobody wants to talk about that. As Greg Kelly always says, we're having stupid conversations about race to avoid having serious conversations about race.
We'll have a good conversation coming up momentarily with a councilman out on Staten Island. We love this guy, Joe Borelli. He's going to join us, but we've got a lot of stuff to get to first, including sports and clips of the day and all that cool stuff.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. It's a fun listen. 77 WABC.
Curtis Sliwa hopped on about 30 minutes ago. Curtis, fresh off his pounding of Fernando Mateo, winning on that GOP side. Now he awaits the official winner on the left. Eric Adams wakes up this morning with a 10-point lead over Maya Wiley and Catherine Garcia. But let's go to Staten Island. Joe Borelli is a councilman there. He's one of our favorite people. His old boss, Vin, was in studio this morning with Frank Morano and had lots of nice things to say about Joe. We love Joe on this show. So good morning, Joe Borelli. How are you, pal?
This is great. It's a great way to pump me up in the morning. Everybody's saying nice things about me.
Yes.
You do this more often, fellas.
Yes. And they're sincere. I mean, Vin was sincere. I'm sincere. Bernie's sincere. Frank's not always very sincere, but that's Frank. That's what makes him great. let's get to a race in your part of town that is a very tightly contested race, and that is Staten Island Borough President. Our girl, Letitia Romero, not doing very well there. Took it pretty hard. But looks like Vito Pacella and Stephen Mateo are neck and neck. Vito's got the short lead right now, endorsed this week by both President Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. Is it safe to say that Vito's going to win that race, or should we still take a look at it?
No, it certainly isn't. I mean, the amount of absentee ballots that were filed before the president's endorsement, before Rudy's endorsement even was made public, would indicate that there's probably some support for Steve out there. And I mean, frankly, I don't know where Letitia Romero's votes are going to go when people start turning to their number two votes. I mean, there's some people certainly that voted for Vito, some people certainly that voted for Steve. And what we always see in these sort of patterns is that the second round and the absentee ballots and all these things sort of break in line with the initial voting. So I think it's going to be neck and neck up until the very last second, and it'll be 100, maybe 200 votes separating Pacella and Matteo, and I couldn't tell you who's going to win.
Wow, amazing. New York City Councilman Joe Borelli on the Bernie and Sid Show. Joe's also an analyst. Excuse me. I see him all the time on Newsmax. He's brilliant. So in your capacity as analyst, Joe Borelli, can you explain to us on the Democrat side, of course, Eric Adams leading 32%, this ranked choice voting, Maya Wiley coming in second at about 22%, and then Catherine Garcia, Andrew Yang dropped out. Is there any chance that Eric Adams, who garnered most of the vote, obviously the more votes than Maya Wiley, but is there any chance that Wiley or Garcia wins the race when they decide a month from now, whatever the hell it is?
Well, as you so eloquently put, as an analyst, my official analysis is I haven't the slightest clue what actually happened last night. And anyone coming on the radio or TV today trying to align the stars to make it sound like they know what's going to happen is probably making it up, and at least I'm being honest with your audience. I mean, here are the scenarios that could happen. You know, Adams probably can win, But don't forget, they're not going to start counting the most rational votes first, right? Yang's votes, we can assume, are probably going to go towards Adams or towards Garcia. But by the time you get to Yang's votes, Yang's number two votes, you would have already counted the votes from Diana Morales, who was very far out there. Scott Stringer, who's you know, the furthest left of all the major candidates. So there's going to be a lot more progressive votes coming out before we get to the votes of people that are a bit more moderate, a bit more rational, whether it be Yang or Garcia's votes. So, yeah, Eric Adams could 100% lose. Now, would I rather be Eric Adams than anyone right now in the catbird seat? Of course. But still, there's just no way to predict what's going to happen because this is the first time we're going through it for everyone. We don't even know how many people picked second choice, ranked choice votes.
Right.
You know, so we're not even sure if everyone did that.
So last time I saw you, Joe, we were in, Columbus Circle, and it was me, you, Artie Idala, Joe Piscopo, a host of others, and we were railing about the fact they took Columbus Day from us. And I guess we have a bit of a win in Randolph, New Jersey, who I think put it back on the calendar. But the point is, that day, Joe Borelli, at that specific conference, you had both GOP candidates there, both Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo. Curtis took Fernando to the woodshed yesterday, just beat the hell out of him. Nearly 71% of the vote, not much competition there. Were you surprised to see Curtis win that easily? And are you a Curtis Sliwa supporter?
Oh, I am a tremendous Curtis Sliwa supporter. And as I've told maybe you in private and some other people, Curtis has been my friend for 10 years. And I know no matter what happens in 10 years from now, I'll still be a Curtis Sliwa friend and supporter. And that was a big factor in endorsing him. The other factor was that I really didn't get a good read on Fernando Mateo. I mean, you know, it's not nice to always speak about people who didn't do well. So I'll cut my own tongue a bit. But I just didn't see a path for Fernando Mateo to win. I didn't see much logic in his candidacy. I didn't think the issues he was talking about were anything that mattered to Republicans. You know, his shtick was essentially, I'm going to raise all this money, which he raised some money, and I'm going to be like Trump. And at the end of the day, it's just not enough when you're going to run a city that's bigger than the country of Norway, with a bigger budget, as a matter of fact, to just be a one-issue, one-trick pony saying, I'm going to be like Donald Trump.
No, not at all. Joe Borelli, again, a New York City councilman and Newsmax analyst on the Bernie and Sid Show. Joe, again, as you're in your role as analyst, President Biden is going to give a speech today. So he's going to address the crime problem. Now, of course, we know how to fix the crime problem, right? Re-implement broken windows and refund the police. He's not going to do that. He's not going to advocate for that. He's going to focus on guns. Assess what you think he's going to say today, what you anticipate, and what he should say today to alleviate this not only New York City crime problem, but all the cities across the nation.
Well, I hope he does actually look at the primary results last night, because 60% of people, when you factor in Yang, Garcia, and Adams, 60% of Democratic voters actually voted for people that had a more grounded in reality approach to policing than someone like Maya Wiley, who a year ago we would have been saying was the second coming. Now, Biden is going to do whatever he can to shift blame off of the Democratic control from cities. In fact, you saw Jen Psaki try to make that case yesterday when she was asked by Fox's Peter Ducey about crime in cities. She tried to say it was happening over the past 5 years, trying to bring in Trump. She was saying it was happening far longer than the few months the Biden administration was in office. And some of that is true. But in all of these cities, you have Democratic, not just government, right? It's okay to elect Democrats every now and then, but you have an entrenched Democratic government where it's one-party rule. And for the past 4 or 5 years, you've had the AOC wing of the Democratic Party act in an ascendant manner and implement policies. And we saw that in New York. I mean, we ended the anti-crime teams, right? We have a gun problem, right? We have a problem with illegal guns on the street shooting people in around the city. We had a team of police officers, 600 of the toughest men and women the NYPD had in many cases, and they would target these type of things. And they recovered 60% of all the guns the NYPD recovered in 2019. But we ended those to suit the PC radical left. And then, lo and behold, more people are now holding guns in their waistband, having guns available to them. We saw that horrible shooting in Chicago. I mean, that was a crime of convenience, the one where the couple was dragged out of the car.
That's awful.
If that gangbanger didn't feel comfortable because of lax criminal justice laws to carry a gun in his waistband, those couples, they might have got a good beating, you never know, but they wouldn't be shot.
Right.
And it's sad what's happening.
Hey, Joe, last one from me. I know we're a year away from the gubernatorial race, obviously, but a couple of Republicans have stepped up and announced their candidacies. Andrew Giuliani, Lee Zeldin, Rob Astorino, to name a few. Are you leaning towards a certain candidate right now? What do you think about the future for the GOP for governor in this state?
Look, I'm supporting Lee Zeldin. You know, I've been open about that. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I think he's a solid candidate. I think he's wrapping up the nomination of the GOP around the state. And I think he presents the best footing to go on to attack Andrew Cuomo. By the way, there's going to be some bombshells coming out against Andrew Cuomo in the next month or so, which stay tuned for that.
What do you mean by you mean personal bombshells or business stuff?
I think the AG's report will be coming out by the end of July, and that's going to have some bombshells in it. And I think some of those are going to start trickling out before we even see the official report.
All right.
But Andrew Giuliani, if he wins, you know, I'll be the first to be behind him, because he has been out there. He's been aggressive. He's been someone who championed New York State within the White House during the Trump administration. So we have great people just champing at the bit, trying to go against Andrew Cuomo or Tom DiNapoli or Tish James or whoever the Democrats want to put up. And I think we have a good chance in 2022. Look, Lee Zeldin is more well-known than a guy named George Pataki ever was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So we're in a good footing, and this is it, baby. I mean, this is the one we got to win.
It's huge. I mean, it means everything. And finally, Joe, briefly, City Councilman Joe Borelli on the Bernie and Sid Show. My theory is this. I'm kind of hoping, and tell me if I shouldn't be, that Maya Wiley wins, because there would be a more stark contrast between Curtis Sliwa and his Democrat opponent if a defund the police type radical wins, as opposed to Curtis Sliwa running against a former police captain, Eric Adams, a law and order guy, as the people see it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if I was Curtis, I'd be hoping Maya Wiley wins. I mean, as a political strategist, yeah, I mean, that presents the most opportunity. because she was resoundingly rejected everywhere. You don't see hipsters in New York City, and that was never going to be Curtis Sliwa's base vote anyway. But you, look, Eric Adams is no picnic. You know, he's no pro law and order person. And at the end of the day, the case is going to be made by Curtis and by Republicans and by moderates that if you want to elect someone whose priority is keeping the city safe first and foremost, then Curtis Sliwa is your guy. I mean, there is going to be no doubt left in anyone's mind come November 2nd who is going to be the pro-police candidate and who's someone who just jumped on the bandwagon as the tide began to shift in the Democratic primary. And suddenly became pro cop. So it's going to be a fun race. I can't wait to be out there for Curtis Sliwa. I know you guys can't wait to be out there banging the drums. And we'll see what happens.
Joe, you really are great, man. You are such a good guest and such a great guy. And we'd love to see you in some loftier position one day as well. But thank you for this conversation this morning. Continued success and keep coming on, brother. Thank you so much.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
The great Joe Borelli, right. Staten Island, councilman, smart guy, really, and a good guy. Smart and good guy. Still to come, Congressman Peter King, and again, the invitation to Eric Adams, which, money in the bank, he does not show up. More of Bernie and Sid on this beautiful Hump Day Wednesday, right after this.
John Adams will show up first.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. It's a fun listen. 77 WABC.
Well, we spent a lot of time already today talking about, obviously, these local races. We've done some national stuff, too, a couple of Joe Biden stories. But, you know, sports for a second, the series that has gotten Bernie's a big UFC guy, doesn't really delve much into the other sports unless something big is going on. But he has really been all over this Islander-Tampa Bay series. A Long Islander himself, a proud Long Islander, a great patriot, a great American. How they sing the national anthem. They'll do it again tonight at the Barn. It's part of the reason why Bernie is excited about this. Tonight is a game six, and the season is on the line. And I feel your nervousness this morning. I feel it. It's palpable.
Yeah, I'm worried. It could be the last one. No, it was the national anthem, the crowd, and the fact that Nassau Coliseum. By the way, the Coliseum is going to stay there.
I told you that.
Yes, you did.
For concerts and stuff
right,
like that.
Exactly. The hockey team is moving. The Islanders are moving.
To Belmont.
Right.
It's going to be a gorgeous arena. But it's going to be a pain in the ass with
horrible,
the Cross Bronx right
horrible
there.
Horrible. Cross Island.
Cross Island, right.
In a horrible spot. Horrible traffic-wise. But, yeah, go Islanders. I mean, they're America's team right now. That viral video, those viral videos of the singing of the national anthem, I mean, inspired the hell out of me. And so I'm rooting for them big time. Not to mention that the Nassau Coliseum was right at the block, essentially, from where I live.
Is that close to you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's right. It's 20 minutes away. 20,
no, I don't,
25
okay.
tops.
Yeah. I know it's the Meadowbrook Parkway.
Right, right.
I've been to that hotel across the street a couple times.
The Marriott, yeah.
Is it the Marriott?
Yeah, nice place. And it's near, right next to Hofstra, where
yes.
my son went to college, right next to Kellenberg, where my kids went to high school.
Oh, right.
So I'm a Long Island guy. I'm a Nassau Coliseum. I used to take my kids there for various events, circuses, and, various shows like
yeah.
that.
Now, you have a long day ahead of you with this tragedy that happened. And, again, I'm very, very sorry for your son and that family and everybody involved. It's a horrible thing.
I feel horrible for them.
Of course.
For them. And,
of course.
And for her.
Yeah.
My son's fiance. It's
yeah.
just terrible.
But
happened
one,
on her bridal shower day.
I mean, you couldn't pick a worse time. But once you get past this tragic event later on today, if you're driving back, for example, and you get a phone call from Peter King, the great congressman who's going to join us at 8:40, or Bill O'Reilly. And like Bill O'Reilly 2 weeks ago took me to the Met game, you couldn't make it. And they say, listen, we have an extra ticket tonight at the Barn. Game six, Isles Lightning. Will we see Bernie McGurk in his Glen Chico Resch jersey sitting there at the inside the Barn rooting on the Islanders later on tonight?
You know, it's a good question. But the answer is probably no.
No.
No, because, well, you know, the hours are tough here. You know what I mean? You know,
listen, I turned down two dinners last
night. I'm
exhausted. Smith and Walensky's, the party for Curtis. Turned it all down last night. So
you know
I know exactly what you're saying.
Who was there at the viewing of the game in Tampa Bay the other night was Dennis Potvin himself.
Oh, Denny was
yeah,
there?
He was there.
Oh,
yeah.
Good man. I used to love Dennis. We got very close down in Florida because he was a Panther announcer for many, many years. Anyway, big 8 o'clock hour coming your way, including the aforementioned Congressman Peter King. It's the Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Keep it right here.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Memories of you.
Seven on your hump day, episode day, beautiful Wednesday in New York City, sun splash skies, highs in the mid-70s, no humidity, going to be a gorgeous day on this, the day of the Curtis Sliwa victory. Just watching New York One in the studios, and they showed Curtis during his victory speech last night at Jack's Place, Empire Steakhouse. Then they showed Fernando Mateo. We did have both candidates, Curtis and Fernando, on this show yesterday. And after Curtis's resounding win last night, I mean, he pounded him, got nearly 72% of the vote. Curtis did join us earlier this morning on this show at 7:05 to, of course, revel in the win and talk about what he has to do next in order to beat a guy like Eric Adams. If Eric wins, Eric is up 10 points right now on Maya Wiley and Catherine Garcia, but you don't know with the ranked choice voting if he's going to win. The assumption is he's going to win. But either way, Curtis now really has his work cut out for him because we thought he would win the GOP side. But this is a whole new animal beating a Democrat in this city. But it sounds, Bernie, like Curtis is up to the task.
If anybody has a mandate coming out of this particular primary, it's Curtis Sliwa. With those kind of numbers, I mean, it's an incredible victory for him. It gives him a wind in his sails, the wind at his back, or whatever way you want to describe it. Good for Curtis Sliwa, who was on this morning. He's great. He's a hero. He's got some blemishes in the past, but he who's without sin cast the first stone. Go right ahead, please. I'm begging you.
Please.
Eric
exactly.
Adams, go ahead. You try it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get like that, and I think that was part of Fernando's problem. We had Fernando on this show as much as Curtis. In fact, I believe we had Fernando on one more time than Curtis. And every time he came on, and I like Fernando, he became friendly, you know, the whole thing. It devolved into Katz and Nancy and Curtis's, you know, lifestyle, and I don't want to hear about that nonsense. I mean, even yesterday, when Fernando was on, making some good points about small businesses, what he thought about crime, he had to include the whole cat thing in there about 100 times. That's not going to get you a win. Just not.
No, it's not. Not at all. No, he was, either way, it's all in the rearview mirror now. Curtis Sliwa is the undisputed champ right now. No ranked choice voting, no nothing, unlike the other side. In other news, however, I will say this. Curtis did bring this up. First of all, Joe Biden is going to do his big anti-crime speech today. He's going to ignore the real problems and talk about guns.
Guns.
He's going to completely ignore it. We know what fixes crime in cities is tough law enforcement, broken windows, anti-crime, like Joe Borelli said, blah, blah, blah. We know it already. It's been done. It's been proven.
I mean,
he should have Rudy Giuliani standing next to him today when he gives this speech.
You're right.
He really should.
I mean, at the end of the day, crazy kills, not guns. I've never once in my life seen a gun jump off a kitchen table and by itself pull a trigger. But every time I see somebody kill somebody else, unless it's self-defense, and certainly when they kill massive numbers of people, crazy is involved. Crazy kills, not guns.
Guns are inanimate objects. And by the way, he'll probably regurgitate the white supremacist hoax. Again, completely ignoring the real problem. White supremacists are not committing these crimes that we're all talking about, that we're witnessing on videotape. Anyway, you have that. Yesterday also, they had a big vote in the Senate on this voter reform thing where the government, it was called For the People Act. It should have been called For the Cheaters Act. Anyway, it was defeated. They needed 60 votes. They only got 50. So they need a filibuster to be taken away. Joe Manchin, by the way, the savior of the country, he voted for this ridiculous, this dangerous voter reform bill. He voted for it. So he's not the savior that we think he is.
He's waffling on the filibuster, but they got this Arizona lady, Kyrsten Sinema. She wrote an op-ed. She says, I ain't voting to get rid of the filibuster, which, by the way, all the Democrats were for during the Trump administration.
Right.
And now, of course, that they're in the majority. They want to pass bills with 50 votes. Now they're against it. Now it's racist. Now it's all of a sudden it's racist. So you have that as well. And again, Curtis Lewa brought up a critical race theory. It's a big deal. It's a very hot topic. Last night in Loudoun County, Virginia, believe it or not, with the sight of many people, you know, great people, patriots standing up against what that school board is doing down there on transgenders, telling kids, you know, that boys are girls and girls are boys or whatever the hell it is, plus critical race theory, teaching them racism essentially. They actually shut the meeting down because the parents were so vocal, and they arrested two people. They arrested them in this Loudoun County school board. It was really bad. The Randolph, New Jersey thing you brought up with Joe Borelli was a victory for Columbus Day is back. I mean, when people speak up, people listen. The people in charge listen. If you
sometimes
speak up, if you're just a sheep and you stay home and you're like, what am I going to do? Nope, nothing happens.
Right.
Listen to one example from the Randolph school board where they got this this day off thing reversed. Now they're going to name the holidays. Yes, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Columbus Day is back. Listen to Randolph, New Jersey school board meeting. Take a listen to this.
Pick my geometry book, fix the pothole in the parking lot, fix the slide in the grade school. That's what I expect the Board of Education to do. I don't expect them to be indoctrinating my kids. I don't expect them to engage in historical revisionism.
The fact that we have made this a national news story and the embarrassment it has brought to our town is unacceptable, and this board needs to step down.
So that is I have so much more of that. I just don't have time for it right now. But there was another one also. This is in Lakeview, Minnesota. A nine-year-old girl. This was fantastic. Listen to this girl addressing a school board about what she saw in the school after being told we shouldn't discuss politics in the school. Listen to her.
The other day I was walking down the hallway at Lakeview Elementary School to give a teacher a retiring gift. I looked up onto the wall and saw a BLM poster and an Amanda Gorman poster. In case you don't know who that chick is, she's some girl who did a poem at Biden's so-called inauguration. I was so mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this very meeting spot, no politics in school. I believed what you said at this meeting. So at lunch, I went up to my principal to tell him about the BLM poster and that I wanted it down. He said it's not coming down. I was like, yeah, it is, because the school board said on May 25th, no BLM or politics in school. He said, that's weird. They were the ones who made them. I was stunned.
She was really terrific. As a matter of fact, you know, she was so good. I wasn't going to, but let's play a little more of her right now.
When I was here 2 weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they're in our schools because you made the signs. I said there should be no BLM in schools, period. Does not matter the color you make the posters and the font you use. We all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Welch just sits on his throne and watches.
Bro.
We all know. Changing the font or the color of posters does not change the meaning. I am 9 years old and I know that. You expect me to believe that you did not know what you were doing by making these posters? Come on, people.
Bro, 9 years
That's
old.
Great.
Listen, that, and I have more. I'm not going to play it right now because, we're time limited. But I will say this. One more thing on the Voter Reform Act. Your boy, Senator Joe Manchin, the savior of the nation,
yeah,
he's actually proposed a compromise with Republicans, one that requires voter ID. And Stacey Abrams actually backs it. Stacey Abrams backs it, and she said yesterday during an interview, I never opposed voter ID. Listen to what she said.
No one has ever objected to having to prove who you are to vote. It's been part of our nation's history since the inception of voting.
You're a lying.
Yeah, she's lying.
Liar. A liar who, by the way, doesn't speak for black people.
No.
She speaks for her liberal, wealthy, white donors. That's
she speaks for the Upper West Side. There are still people today. She lost that race in Georgia years ago. I swear, Bernie, there are still people today walking around the Upper West Side with Stacey Abrams t-shirts.
Listen, she runs a website called JimCrow2.0.com. She bought that and runs that website. In that website, she says voter ID is racist. And as a matter of fact, on tape, she said voter ID is racist.
I know.
Just about a month and a half ago.
Voters without a driver's license or state ID must surrender their personal information and risk identity theft just to receive an absentee ballot. And then there are the 200,000 Georgia voters who don't have either ID and the putative free ID that is not free when you factor in the cost of transportation and the cost of underlying documents.
Yeah, so blacks can't do it. They can't do it. So she completely lies. She's on tape lying. But the reason why is that 80% of voters, black, white, Latino, Asian, Eskimo, they all support voter ID. The tides are turning on voter ID with the Democrats, so they're flipping on that. So people are speaking. Hopefully, God help us, Curtis Lee will get elected mayor, and then in 2022, the Republicans and the Republicans take back the House and the Senate. And then in 2024, well, who knows?
All right. The CDC is set to meet today on the heart issues that people are experiencing after the vaccines.
Now, you know what they did? Last week they called an emergency meeting because of this, right? Right?
Yes.
So it's an emergency. Kids right now, in this interim week, they called that meeting last week.
Right.
Then they were going to have it on, they canceled it because of Juneteenth. And now they're going to have it today. This is an emergency.
I know.
So kids have been getting the vaccine. Now they're going to make a decision. What if they say, kids, don't take the vaccine today? And kids in this past week took it.
Right. Too late.
What the hell were they doing down there?
Well, it's a good question. We're going to talk to Dr. Mark Siegel, who you see on Fox News all the time and is a huge Bernie and Sid fan tomorrow. We'll do Dr. Mark Siegel and Bill O'Reilly coming up tomorrow on this show. But before we even get to those guys, we've got Lydia Reports, we've got Beat Bernie and Congressman Peter King on today's show, the hump day edition of Bernie and Sid on a gorgeous Wednesday morning in New York City.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. Are you on a budget and need to impress business partners or have a special occasion? The Russian Tea Room offers the ultimate iconic experience, a three-course meal for just $55. Check them out at RussianTeaRoomNYC.com. I barely got any sleep last night because I was at Fernando Mateo's campaign headquarters in the Bronx on Grand Concourse at Zona de Cuba. And then once I got home, I was doing squats, guys, because I never saw so many beautiful butts in my life. And my butt has never felt flatter in my life because of all the beautiful Latina women that I saw there. But despite the...
Mira que pasa, mami!
Oh, my God. My butt's never felt so flat. I was like, I need to go. I was squatting as I was doing my reports.
Lydia,
but
what has happened to you?
I was so, oh my God, there's so many gorgeous women. I'm like, I can't believe this on a Tuesday night. But Fernando Mateo, he conceded. And I was trying to get an interview with him afterwards, but he seemed upset. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm leaving. But during his concession speech, he did say, it was very brief and short. He said that he hopes whoever the next mayor is will be better than the last one that we had, obviously. And then I also asked him the same question I asked him on the air yesterday. I said, so will you work with Curtis? Will you work in his administration? He said, yeah, installing carpets, because that's kind of the dig Curtis has been jabbing at him, that he installed carpets for him back in the day. But hopefully the two of them will work it out. But yeah, I mean, it was a landslide. You know, they say it's over when the fat lady sings, and the lady was hoarse by like 10 o'clock. Because it was over. I think I could tell everybody there, because initially they were like, oh no, only 12% of the precincts reporting this and that. And then once it became clear that Curtis was the winner, you felt like the mood changed, but the party continued.
He got whooped.
I think he was surprised.
He got totally whooped. He got
think he was surprised.
Speaking of butts, he got his butt whooped.
He did.
Big time.
He kept saying that if he wins, he was going to make Curtis the deputy mayor of the subway or something. I don't know, but
he was. Yeah, obviously, it stung to lose by such a margin. He was not favored to win. All the polls showed that he was going to lose.
But I thought it would be closer than that.
I think a lot of people did. I think he thought so, too.
29% of the vote. I mean, that was, I have to say this, it was humiliating. It really was.
Yeah. So he's done pop politically.
That's over.
It's over.
That's Michael Spinks, Mike Tyson stuff. I mean, that's, you know, don't get popcorn or go to the bathroom because the fight's going to be over. And it was in 30 seconds, so. But was the party fun about beautiful women and great butts and all that stuff, which you're doing a great job of describing here, Lydia. But
I Tuesday night, who knew? This was like the place to be. It's also, I think, his...
You know how many beautiful women are in New York? I mean, it's any Tuesday night. You could be walking around right now outside of Third
Avenue.
Yeah, but there's a million of them.
You know what? A-Rod needs to stop going after J-Lo. Because there was like girls that beat J-Lo like 10 times over at this club. I mean, you should have seen this.
Like,
and I'm wearing like my...
Sound like you're going to transition.
Yeah. You're like seriously traumatized by all this.
No, I can appreciate when somebody's gorgeous. And I looked around and I'm like, oh my God, where am I? This is a Tuesday night. And they were like half naked, you know, like with the sexy dresses. Like I haven't... Yeah. I'm an old married lady. I haven't been to a club... In like, I don't even know how long. This is like a legit club.
What club was this again? Where was this
Zona de Cuba on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx.
Now, you understand that Mateo owns that place. That's his restaurant. Yes.
Yes.
Those Latinos know how to have fun. They really do. They like to dance. You know, they're just standing around talking. They like to bust moves and things like that. And obviously, you know. Address, you know, in very provocative ways.
Yes, they do.
According to Lydia.
Yeah.
I'm literally trying. I was going to come in today, but my legs are sore from doing squats all night because I was trying to pump up those. I'm not like this skinny little stick girl either, but I'm looking at these girls and I'm like, oh my God. And then I was totally distracted because I'm trying to focus on my job here. So I don't even know how you guys do it, but it was so many. But yeah, Fernando, I think
how
he's
we
done
do
with
it.
Politics.
You know how we do it? We don't go to these things. We're home with our own beautiful girls. We don't go out to these events.
Exactly. Don't go, Bernie. It'll remind you. Because, you know, I went to school in the Bronx, Spelman, and I remember everybody would always talk about how beautiful J-Lo is from the Bronx. And it's like, you know, Bernie, all the girls, all the Puerto Rican girls, they look like J-Lo even better. They all look – they're gorgeous people in the Bronx.
You got the Sofia Vergara's strutting around – in the BX. Yeah, you know, the Latino ladies are gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you can see that because he's a very fiery guy, Fernando. And in my short friendship with him, I've seen that. He calls the show. He gets crazy. He texts people. So you saw that last night. He was pretty pissed when it was over.
Well, as soon as he got off the stage, I went up to him because right before he got on stage, he said, yeah, I'm going to talk to you. And he was standing right by me and I was going to grab him. I was like, just a quick phone interview. And then all of a sudden he got grabbed away. And then I guess they must have told him, yo, buddy, you lost. And then the next thing I know, he goes up on stage and then he was avoiding me. And I said, Fernando, you said you were going to talk to me. What happened? And I have my phone out and he just refused. And then I had my phone in my hand. That's why the audio, I'm not going to play it. It's not that good.
Now, why do you think he refused? Said, why do you think he refused?
I don't
to
know.
Talk
he
you?
Was, I think he was, hum- I think he was embarrassed
only,
by the
I,
loss.
I can speculate, which is, that Curtis Lee is part of the WABC family. And so are you, Lydia. And I think he thinks we gave Curtis an unfair advantage or something like that. I think he thinks that we didn't. By the way, keep in mind, Fernando Mateo is a good guy. He, in my opinion, I've liked him. I've admired him for years. And then when I found out he was such a big-time Trump supporter, I mean, I thought he would make a perfect candidate, Curtis Lee would notwithstanding. I mean, once Curtis came into was his opponent, I had to support Curtis. But Fernando Mateo was a good man.
Yes.
And he is courageous. He's a Dominicano, a Dominican immigrant supporting Trump. So he says the right things. He knows the right things. He knows what to do. So he got humiliated and you caught him on a tough night. But, let's not kick a guy when he's down. Not that you are.
No, no.
But I'm just saying, I want to give him his props. He ran, the race he had to. When you fight a guy, you have to fight like it's, your life depends on it. When you're fighting, that's what you do. You and I fought in the ring.
Yes, we did.
We have to fight. You have to fight. And then when the fight's over, you congratulate each other, and life moves on.
I don't know if these two guys are going to have any relationship after this. I don't know if did Mateo actually congratulate Curtis last night?
No.
No.
Not that I heard.
I think
he thought I was going to rub it in. Because he was like, no, I'm done, I'm out of here. And I said, no, I want to wish you did a great campaign. Congratulations on even getting this far. You did a great job. He's like, I'm done. You could tell he put his heart and soul into this campaign. He really thought he had a chance. He probably knew that he wasn't going to win the primary, but I don't think he expected, and I didn't certainly expect that he was going to get clobbered the way he did.
No, I think a lot of
us are
surprised.
Is he married, by the way?
Fernando?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, no,
I don't
is.
Know how he could be, but.
No, he is.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, that is a great report. And
I'm trying to paint the picture for you, because that's what we reporters do. We're trying to paint the picture. And so close your eyes and imagine scantily clad women with sequin dresses and boobs and butts and Fernando Mateo upset and fired up and the music pumping.
Well done. Lydia Serrano every day at 4 o'clock right here on 77 WABC. Believe me, folks, she's better than the competition. Do you have a sponsor to wrap up with, Lydia?
Yes, we do. This report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. You have to try their afternoon tea at the Russian Tea Room for an enchanting experience. Keep your pinkies out. Ideal for pre-theater or a special occasion. You could get the caviar there. White glove service. This is daily from 12 noon until 4:30 p.m. Russian Tea Room located at 150 West 57th Street right there in Midtown.
Lydia Serrano at 4 o'clock.
This is Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
So true, funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line for dreams. Head over heels, went toe to toe. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound.
We are on record many times saying that our favorite politician here in New York is the great congressman, recently retired after four amazing decades, out of Long Island, Peter King. Curtis Sliwa, of course, is now a real politician. He's got a GOP win under his belt, so he may rival Peter. But right now, Peter still has that title as the favorite politician of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Great man, and here he is on this big Sliwa victory day, Peter King. Peter, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, it's great being with you and Bernie, and yeah, it was a big night for Curtis last night. Really, really a big win.
Huge win, and I saw your Instagram account this morning. You have a picture of Curtis and a picture of Fernando Mateo, and the numbers with Curtis at about 71% and Mateo at 29%, and it does bode the same question we've asked everybody this morning, Peter, and that is, we were surprised, are you surprised at how badly Curtis beat him?
Yeah, I am. I endorsed Curtis, campaigned for Curtis, but I was thinking in a primary, especially Republicans aren't used to having primaries that often, and I was thinking maybe 60-40, at most 62-38, something like that. But 71-29, that's almost a shutout. I mean, that's about as high as you can go in politics. You very seldom see more than that, and it's really a tribute to Curtis, because I thought, again, you know, Mateo. Again, I think he was a little too much with the personal shots. But having said that, I thought he came across as an engaging candidate. I was there at the debate at WABC. I thought he handled himself well. And so I was really expecting it to be at least a little closer. But Curtis just has it in him. I mean, he was, and he is a New Yorker. That's basically it. When you see and hear Curtis Sliwa, you know that this is a guy from the streets, from the subways. He's born and bred. He's totally his blood bleeds New York. So I guess the voters saw that also. Sometimes in politics, you can't get your message out to the voters. Curtis was able to get it out. People understood him.
No, he honestly, I don't use the term lightly. He's a living legend here in New York City. I mean, I remember back in the 70s and 80s riding the subways and seeing guardian angels in the subway cars during the Bernie Getz era and feeling a sense of relief. I remember that as an private individual, and I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers do as well, and appreciate that
Curtis Sliwa, the crime solver, the crime saver, the you know, some people will call him a vigilante. I'd say he's just doing picking up where the police left off, Congressman Peter King on the Bernie and Sid show. But let me just segue to the Democrat side, Congressman. Eric Adams now, this ranked choice voting, he's at number one with 32%. Maya Wiley, of all people, coming in second with 22%. Now, they don't even count the mail-in ballots for a week. Can you make sense of this? I mean, is there a chance that Maya Wiley can actually steal it, can win this somehow or other with this mysterious, enigmatic ranked choice voting?
Yeah, let me sound like Joe Borelli. I mean, I have no idea where this is going to go. I would just think, though, and, Joe is a scholar, he's a politician, he has all the answers, and I agree with him on this. But, I would think, though, it's going to be hard for someone winning by 10 points and to lose on this, but again, who knows how those other people voted, what their second, third, fourth, and fifth choices were. I would hope that Maya Wiley doesn't win. Listen, I supported Eric Adams in the Democratic primary because, listen, I want Curtis to win. I'm going to campaign for Curtis, but you have to have a fallback strategy, and I would hate the thought of Maya Wiley becoming the mayor of New York, and also to see the Democratic Party taken over by the wackos. I mean,
I do think, though, just briefly, that she would present an easier opponent for Curtis Sliwa because of the stark contrast. Her defund the police, take the guns away from the cops, and Curtis totally law and order. I think it might help him if she did win.
No, you're right. And, you know, the dilemma is that I think Maya Wiley would be a much easier candidate for Curtis. He'll run strong against anybody, but no, she would definitely be the easier candidate to run against. On the other hand, just the thought of her.
Too dangerous.
It's really bad news. Listen, Eric Adams, I would probably disagree with him on many issues. I've only met him a couple of times, but he is a cop. And coming down between him and Maya Wiley, to me, there's no choice at all. I would definitely be for Eric Adams on that. But in November, I will be certainly for Curtis Sliwa.
Well, Peter, you said that Curtis will run strong against anybody. A lot of folks out there that are even impressed with the margin of the victory for Curtis yesterday still don't believe he can run a competitive race against someone like Eric Adams. But based on what you just said, I guess you disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. When you're outnumbered 7-1, it can be tough. But these are tough times. Really, no one thought Mike Bloomberg, even with all his money, no one thought Bloomberg was going to win, you know, the first time out. People at that stage realized the danger if they left the Giuliani policies and went for Mark Green or one of those Democratic candidates. So they went with Bloomberg. Obviously, back in '93, they went with Giuliani. So I think that, again, this is an unusual year, and that's unusual. It's a horrible year for New York City. And people are going to say, God, Maya Wiley taking guns away from cops. Maya Wiley, who's an AOC acolyte and clone. No, they will go with Vito. Also, before we run out, I got to put in a good word. I know you guys endorse this opponent, but I endorse my good friend Vito Fisella for borough president of Staten Island. Right now, he's got a small lead, but again, with ranked voting, who knows? But Vito's listening. Tell him I'm still with him all the way and hoping for the best.
Definitely, Vito Fisella is a good man. We endorsed Letitia Romero, but it's not the first time we endorsed somebody who wasn't victorious, Congressman Peter King on the Bernie and Sid show. Congressman, of course, the big issue is crime. That's the biggest issue in the country. Today, President Biden, to be polite, is going to actually address the crime problem. But by all accounts, he's going to focus on the wrong thing. He's going to focus on guns. He's not going to focus on, you know, defunding and defaming the police, bail reform, all that, no cash bail law, all that nonsense. So what do you think about what Biden's going to do today and, the whole crime scene in general? There he goes. He's gone. I can tell.
What happened?
He's out.
What happened?
Hopefully not a victim to this rampant, wanton crime. We're going to get him back in a second. But, as I mentioned earlier, and Congressman King will be right back. President Biden should have Rudy Giuliani standing next to him when he gives his speech. Bring back broken windows. That's what we need. Bring back that policy, the small crimes, all that stuff. Get rid of these lenient, and Biden should condemn some of these lenient district attorneys, these radical district attorneys, like what we have here in Brooklyn with
the Brooklyn DA, the Philadelphia DA, the San Francisco DA, the Los Angeles DA, all these people, and again, St. Louis, all that he should condemn that he's not going to do that because he's not a true leader. He's a coward. He caves to the crazy, the Hamas squad, all these people. It's not going to happen. We think Congressman Peter King's phone has died. We're not sure, but either way, long live the king is what I'm saying. He did endorse Curtis Sliwa. He was out there. And his guy Vito Fasella. So Peter King carries a lot of weight with the voters in New York.
That's a close
Republican
race.
Voters.
Again, Matteo, I guess that's how you say his name, not Matteo. Steve Matteo. He's the guy on Staten Island who's right there, neck and neck with Vito. It is neck and neck. Letitia's 30 points back. She's out of it. So those two are running a very tightly contested race. I always get a kick out of Peter because he'll do this all the time, you know. If you bring on Peter, and we do often 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour, he'll repeat something he heard on this show because he listens. He listens every morning, all morning. So to hear him quoting Joe Borelli, who was on over an hour ago, I always get a kick out of that. I love when guests come on and actually listen to the show before they come on so they can at least they prove to the hosts that they actually do enjoy the show, they listen, and it makes for more an enjoyable conversation.
It makes us feel good.
Yeah.
That's for damn
sure. That's all that matters.
Hey, I don't know if you saw Miranda Devine's column this morning.
I did.
You have to read it. It's unbelievable. It really is. I'm going to read a little bit to you. It's going to be jarring. Your eyes maybe roll over. Did Joe inadvertently pay for Hunter Biden's wild night at Chateau Marmont?
Yeah.
All right, so you say, another more Hunter Biden corruption. Blah, blah, blah. But you read it, and it talks about an encounter that Hunter had with a Russian hooker, in 2018. And she starts by recounting it. It's May 2018, and Robert Hunter Biden is trawling through his favorite Los Angeles escort sites. He orders, quote-unquote, Yana, a 24-year-old Russian native from Emerald Fantasy Girls. Russian green eyes, thin brunette, an elite courtesan. That is Yana's pitch. That's the way they describe her. And then she says, quote, "Hi, my name is Rob. I'm staying at Chateau Marmont. Are you available now?" Actually, that's what Hunter Biden says. And Yana goes to the cottage. He smokes crack, she writes. This is Miranda Devine writing. He smokes crack. They drink vodka, have sex, make porn. He balances a line of M&Ms on his erect penis and takes photographs of it. This is Miranda Devine's. That's the first page in her column in the New York Post this morning. All of these messages, all of these pictures are saved on Hunter Biden's laptop, which he treats like a diary, storing email and text conversations, his financial records, and his copious selfies. A year later, Hunter will forget the laptop at a Delaware repair shop. And she goes on to talk about how when he tried to pay the hooker, the money wouldn't go through.
It wouldn't go through. Yeah.
So it ended up in a meeting. A long story short, ends up with a meeting with this lady's bosses.
Right.
And President Biden.
Biden takes care of it.
Yeah.
The old Jerry Springer, when he was the mayor in Cincinnati, he bounced a check to a hooker. Peter King is back, the great Congressman Peter King. Bernie was asking you a question about Joe Biden. He went on to read Miranda Devine's column in today's New York Post with the specifics, these really nasty specifics on Hunter Biden's night one night. So Bernie, Peter King is back.
Congressman King, Joe Biden today talking about crime. He should have Rudy Giuliani standing next to him. We know what the cause of the crime is. He's going to focus on guns. What do you say?
Listen, it's going to be tough to listen to him because it's going to be guns and systemic racism. These are two phony stories, two phony issues. He's refusing to address the real issue that we have to look for the underlying causes of crime in the minority communities. And instead of blaming the cops, instead of blaming racism, we have to start addressing why the schools aren't doing better, why there isn't better health care, why the students don't get better education. Why does anyone want to stop the cops from saving lives in the African-American communities? I mean, during the years of Giuliani and Bloomberg, there were thousands and thousands of African-Americans are alive today because of what the cops did in those districts, protecting the people, being proactive. Today, all cops can do is respond after the crime has been committed. As far as guns, yeah, there are too many guns, but there's always been too many guns. There were tons of guns throughout the Giuliani and Bloomberg years, but the cops got them off the streets. They were still able to stop crime. And as far as the systemic racism and how brutal the cops are, at the end of Ray Kelly's tenure as police commissioner, which was supposedly the reign of terror here in New York, he had a 63, 64%
popular rating in the African-American community. Yeah. I think like 22% negative. That's almost 3-1 his support was in the African-American community. So all this talk about brutality, about enslavement, all this nonsense. The fact is crime is out of control because the cops can't do their job and because demagogues are telling the people to resist the cops, don't cooperate with the cops. And then when it comes to education, people claim the education isn't good enough, but they don't allow charter schools, they don't support parochial schools where the job is being done. So this will be a waste of time. I will listen to it. I'll take a Xanax or something. I don't know. I don't know. You know, whatever it is. You know, right. You know, Tim's the expert on what to take, but I'm just saying. You
know, hey, Peter.
I will need something by the time Biden is finished.
Yeah, you will. But don't knock yourself out for the whole day because you have to be up later because this could be the end of an era. I know you signed the first lease ever at Nassau Coliseum before those four Stanley Cup winners the Islanders put on the ice in the early 1980s. So if they do lose tonight to Tampa Bay, that's it for hockey at the Nassau Coliseum. So two questions. A, will you be in the barn later on tonight? And B, if it is over, how sad is that for Long Island?
No, I'll be watching every minute of it on television. No, it will be sad. And, you know, I know that we have to go forward, and the arena at the Belmont is going to be phenomenal. But I like the Coliseum. To me, that was old-style sports. It was a big barn. There was nothing fancy about it, even though at the time, I guess, it was state-of-the-art. But no, it was a great place to go. You see those fans. I mean, where else does people sing the national anthem the way they did, the enthusiasm behind it? And the Islanders have given great thrills over the years, great wins. I still remember those guys, Nystrom and Potvin. You go through the whole list of them. Clark Gillies, Brian Trottier, Tinelli, Billy Smith, the craziest goalie that ever lived. I mean, he was. These guys were great to watch, and they became part of the community. Many of those guys still live here. You still see Clark Gillies around. Bobby Nystrom shows up at kids' events. These are great people, and it's been a great franchise on Long Island. It meant so much to Long Island. And I think it's safe to say when they started back in 1972, you couldn't find more than a handful of kids playing hockey on Long Island. Hockey was really some distant sport for Canada or something. And even the Rangers, I remember when I was a kid, I never knew that many people who really played hockey. The Islanders really brought hockey alive here on Long Island. There's hockey schools everywhere. Kids are playing it. They're in the pros. So, no, they did so much for Long Island, so much for the economy. And so I'm hoping they win tonight and then go on. It looks like Montreal is going to make it in the other division there. So that'd be great.
Hey, you know, speaking of the community in Long Island, Nassau County in particular, a big proponent, champion of the Long Islanders, the New York Islanders, I should say, excuse me, Peter King, is Laura Curran, our county executive. Do you know her? I think she's done a great job, Congressman King.
Yeah, actually, I know Laura very well. Well, my daughter was a councilman here in Long Island. She worked very closely with Laura. No, Laura's a good friend. She's done a good job. I mean, I will be supporting Bruce Blakeman in November, but I personally really like Laura Curran. She's a big Islander fan. And also, I give her credit for standing with the cops this year when things are really getting bad.
Exactly. Standing behind Patrick Ryder, the Nassau County Police Chief.
Pat Ryder's a great guy. Yep. Pat Ryder is terrific.
Yeah, I had that rally for Pat Ryder just a couple of days ago. Anyway, Peter.
I told Pat Ryder the other day, I'm getting a little annoyed. How do you get yourself on page one of Newsday every day? One of these days, he'll give me a secret, you know?
Hey, Peter, you're great as always. Thank you for hopping on today. Good luck tonight with the Islanders, and keep coming by, pal. We love you. Thank you so much.
Anytime. You guys are the best.
Thank you. You too. You're the best. Congressman Peter King.
Long live the King, baby.
Long live the King and the Islanders tonight, Game 6, hosting Tampa Bay. Let's keep it going. Let's keep these games at the Coliseum. They'll need a win tonight, a road win, Game 7, Tampa, before, as Peter said, it may be Islanders-Montreal in the Stanley Cup final round. We have a lot more to do, including Beat Bernie. Bernie and Sid on a Wednesday.
This is Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC.
I'd be in trouble if you left me now.
Great song.
It's a good song.
Where to look for love, and I just don't know how.
Page 26. Today's New York Post. Quickly here before we get to the top of the hour. It was the most important primary election in New York City history. Join us today for continuing team coverage and the best talk lineup. And once again, John and Margo Catsimatidis. I spoke to Margo yesterday. God, I love her. They put a bunch of pictures on here of folks on the station. Brian Kilmeade, Greg Kelly, Lydia, Mark Levin, Bill O'Reilly, Judge Jeanine, Bernie and Sid. I know those guys. John Catsimatidis, Rita Cosby, Dominic Carter, Juliet Huddy, Frank Morano, down to the weekend guys, Brucey, Orlando, and Piscopo. That reminds me, Joe Abood will do his last show coming up next Saturday, July the 3rd. And I will be a guest on that last show. But anyway, a great color ad in today's New York Post, page 26.
Can I just tell you, I feel so proud to be a part of this team here at WABC, Red Apple, John Catsimatidis, John and Margo. They've really done one hell of a job with this radio station. I mean, look what they're doing.
Every week.
They put this station on the map.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. And we're so blessed.
We couldn't get anything out of Cumulus. Thank you, John and Margo. We do love you. That's sincere. Coming up next hour, Beat Bernie. Maybe that Curtis Sliwa conversation, too. We'll think about it. Keep it right here. Bernie and Sid. New York.
New York, Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
You know, I saw this girl on Broadway. This is Stephanie Mills. Never knew love like this before. Playing Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Anyway, folks, download the 77 WABC app. You can hear this country in every city. This show, I should say, in every city across this country. Every country around the world for free. Just download the 77 WABC app. You can stream this show online every day from your desk at WABCradio.com. To listen to us on Alexa, simply scream, "Hey, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill." We're simulcast, of course, on Talk Radio 107.1. That's an FM station on Eastern Long Island. You can follow all of us on Twitter, at Bernie and Sid, at Sid Rosenberg, at Bernard McGurk 1. On Instagram, too, at It's Bernie and Sid. My new Instagram, it's new. Don't Instagram me at Sid Rosenberg. It doesn't work. At Rosenberg.Sydney. That's at Rosenberg.Sydney. And all three of us, Bernie, me, and the show, have our own Facebook pages. We're going to replay the conversation we had with the GOP winner, Curtis Sliwa. It was much earlier this morning. In fact, it was 7 a.m. We're going to replay that coming up next on this Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Nice to put my mic on. We're going to speak to Curtis. It was a great conversation, and we're so, so happy he won. We backed a winner, finally. How about that? Hey, listen, the imbecile in chief is going to give a speech today on crime. We talked about it with Peter King, former Congressman Peter King. Talked about it this morning. He's going to dodge the issue, talk about guns, of course. It's crime. It's not guns. It's crime. Crime is the issue. They're reframing crime, redefining this gang violence that we're witnessing in the streets as mass shootings. I mentioned that yesterday. They're trying to trick you with this language. I don't know why they don't want to address the real problem. Either way, yesterday they had the vote in the Senate on this. It was called For the People Act. It should have been called For the Cheaters Act, in which they would have normalized the November 2020 election. They would federalize, actually take over from the states, unconstitutional, really, handling, controlling elections. It would have been wrong. But either way, the most spineless piece of garbage in the Senate, his name is Chuck Schumer. He happens to hold an office right next to us. This is what he said yesterday after the vote went down to defeat.
Madam President, I want to be clear about what just happened on the Senate floor. Every single Senate Republican just voted against starting debate on legislation to protect Americans' voting rights. Once again, the Senate Republican minority has launched a partisan blockade of a pressing issue here in the United States Senate, an issue no less fundamental than the right to vote.
Well, that isn't the clip that I had in mind, because he actually invoked Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was the day before. Well, no, this played that yesterday.
No, this was. I'm telling you, yesterday he did it again.
He did it again.
He did it again yesterday. Yeah, yeah. And
he can't stop.
He cannot stop.
Hey, Chuck, stop. Chuck, stop.
Just knock it off. Either way, yeah. As has been said, has been observed, Trump lives rent free in these people's heads. Enough. He's out of office. The vote you're trying to push is just, again, we know what you're up to. And it's not happening. 80% of the voters, by the way, for voter ID. 80%
yes.
of all Americans are for it. Black, white, Eskimo, Latino, you name it. They're for it.
Hey, Chuck, you want to get pissed off about something? You're a Jewish kid from Brooklyn. You went to Madison High School like my mother did and Bernie Sanders and my first cousin, Norm Coleman. You want to get pissed off at somebody? Get pissed off at your own people. Folks like Omar, who hate Israel. AOC, who hate Israel. I know you hate her already, but point is, stop with the Donald Trump nonsense. You got a bunch of lowlives in your own damn party.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for Trump. He'll be back. But last night wasn't the night for it. Look, also Curtis Sliwa, he talked to us, and you'll hear in the conversation, he brought it up himself, critical race theory in the schools. Last night they had this meeting down in Loudoun County, Virginia. The people were complaining. They're teaching us that, about they're teaching kids false narratives about gender. They're trying to teach kids that girls are boys and boys are girls, and also teaching them racism. They actually cut that meeting off. Ended up arresting a couple of the people who were actually voicing their opinion, their right to free speech. They were arrested in Loudoun County, Virginia. I played that girl this morning from Lakeview, Minnesota. She was terrific, 9 years old. This seems to be the big issue, the biggest issue. Crime and this poisoning of our kids' minds in school. There was a guy in Pennsylvania. He had a British accent, but he's an American citizen. He went to a school board. His kids' minds are being poisoned. And, man, did this guy hit a home run. Listen to – I don't even know his name. Somewhere in Pennsylvania at a school board meeting. Listen to this guy.
I am asking you to make your comment, not to name calling like you just did. This is my comment, not your comment. I'm quoting to you now from the United States Supreme Court 1964 case, New York Times versus Sullivan. This is constitutional case law in this country, and I'm quoting you from the U.S. Supreme Court. The judges wrote that this nation is founded on the, quote, profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues shall be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. That's constitutional case law in this nation. I don't have to be nice to you. Nobody behind me has to be nice to you. If you don't like living in the United States of America, then you can all move to Russia, Cuba, or China.
Yeah.
There are emails, public record emails, in which the director of equity is lobbying and advocating for public comment to be censored in this school district. And you know what? You know what? Lobbying for it, advocating for it. We've got the school board president saying she'll do better at hitting the mute button in blatant violation of the Constitution for her lobbying and her advocacy of unconstitutional censorship. I want you, the school board, to terminate the employment of Dr. Charissa Gibson with immediate effect. After you've terminated her employment, I want all of you to tender your resignations for hating on this country. We have a God-given constitutional right to critique you, and we can speak in any lawful tone that we see fit.
That guy should replace Boris Johnson.
Yeah, he sounds like him a little bit.
Kind of made a fool of himself when Biden was over there. Yeah. But either way, yeah.
That guy sounds more like Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage, very good. Yeah, yes, he was terrific, that dude. Listen, none other than the aforementioned Donald Trump did call it on critical race theory early on before people even knew what it was. It's basically it's racism is what it is. But here he is with Chris Wallace, sparring with Chris Wallace at a debate last year talking about CRT.
This month, your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory. Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training? And do you believe that there is systemic racism in this country, sir?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because a lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools, all over the place, and you know it, and so does everybody else.
What is radical,
and he would know.
What is radical
totally
about racial sensitivity training, sir?
If you were a certain person, you had no status in life. It was sort of a reversal. And if you look at the people, we were paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach very bad ideas and, frankly, very sick ideas. And really, they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
I mean, what a shame that he lost. And the imbecile in chief reversed it. He's incentivizing this garbage to be taught in school. He's paying schools to teach this stuff, incentivizing. If you teach this, we'll give you an extra couple of $100,000 or whatever the hell it is to each school district. And it was really disgusting. Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw this, IKEA in Atlanta, IKEA Furniture. They were celebrating Juneteenth. They created this special Juneteenth menu for their staff and customers, did IKEA, and they failed to consult. They failed to talk to any of their black employees. And on the menu, they actually included watermelon and fried chicken.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah. Dozens of workers were so angered by the menu that they called out sick on Juneteenth. So if you don't own IKEA, if you don't throw your IKEA furniture out, I'll give you till Sunday.
You're a racist.
You're a racist.
Yeah.
You're a white supremacist.
That's a Fuzzy Zeller material right there. Remember that? When Tiger Woods won. What are you guys going to serve in the clubhouse today?
That's right.
Good old Fuzzy.
Fuzzy. He's dead, right?
I don't know if he's dead. He may be dead, but his career is certainly over. We spent a bunch of time this morning, Bernie and Sid, talking to the GOP winner, and he won in easy fashion. He just clobbered Fernando Mateo yesterday. Curtis Sliwa, who demanded about 71% of the vote, and he's moving on, folks. He now has a 50% chance to be the next mayor here in New York City. He'll be taking on Eric Adams in all likelihood, but who knows? Could be Maya Wiley, could be Catherine Garcia. That's up for grabs, but Curtis is not. He is the winner of the GOP side, and he talks to Bernie and Sid, only right here, next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It is time to beat Bernie. By the way, if you're listening and you're in South Florida this morning, Joyce Kaufman, who was on with me and Bernie a couple days ago, she's the best down in South Florida, 850 WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. I will be her guest this afternoon talking about these New York races. She's a New Yorker. So check that out later on this afternoon in Fort Lauderdale. I'll be with Joyce Kaufman. Anyway, here's your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Our contestant today is out of lovely Bayside, Queens, a retired retail sales lady, Marianne. Marianne, good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for playing today's game.
I listen to you every day.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know why you listen to us every day, Marianne? In fact, you tell me, why do you listen to us every day?
Because I like the information. I like what you talk about. I'm interested in what's going on, certainly. And I love WABC. I grew up with WABC.
Fantastic. All great answers. All you had to say was we're the best, but that was really, really good. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Here we go. Here's question number one, sweetie. You ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready to go.
What does the letter B stand for in Lyndon B. Johnson?
Baines.
Yep.
Bang!
Bang. Marianne, who was the only U.S. president to serve more than two terms? Creep this guy was.
The only vice president to serve more than two terms.
Yeah, the only, not vice president, U.S. president, actual president. All right. That's all right.
I can't think of it.
Well, his name was FDR.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
A lot of Jews died while he sat there doing nothing.
That.
Yeah, that's okay. Number three, Marianne, what is the capital of the great state of California? Capital
of
California.
Capital of California. Sacramento.
Yeah. Yes, very good. Two out of three. This famous Edgar Allan Poe book, published in 1843, featured the main plot point of the... What word is this? Looks like a curse.
I believe it's pronounced titular.
What kind of question is this? titular object being hidden under floorboards. Edgar Allan Poe book published in 1843. And, well, a titular object being hidden under floorboards. You don't have to know this, trust me. I wouldn't think any less of you, Marianne.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, nobody. It's called the Telltale Heart. Oh, there you have it. Here's your opportunity to go 3 out of 5 and finish strong. This New York City bridge is the longest suspension bridge in the country. What bridge is it? Suspension.
City Bridge. Suspension bridge, the longest in the country?
Yes. Yes. I'll give you a hint.
George Washington?
No!
You're two-legged back of anthrax, you'll be Jesus.
No.
Okay, well.
It actually connects Staten Island with Brooklyn.
Serenzano.
Yeah, that's correct. Listen, you still got 2 right. This was not an easy game, not by any stretch. So I'm not sure Bernie's going to do much better. So we're going to put you on hold, Marianne, and see how the champ does. 2 right for Marianne from Bayside, Queens. That 4th question is, I just want to punch Don across the face. What is he talking about, a titular object? What kind of word is that?
He asked you the same thing. I had no idea what he was talking about.
I was afraid to read it. And I've been suspended and fired more than anybody. Here he is, Bernard McGurk, everybody. Good morning, Bernie. How are you, pal?
Sid Rosenberg, right. Arthur Ferris.
I'm all that. Here we go. Here's number 1. You need 3 right to win 3, okay?
All right.
Here we go. What does the letter B stand for in Lyndon B. Johnson?
Baines.
Yes.
Baines business.
Bernie, who was the only U.S. president to serve more than 2 terms?
That was the man in the wheelchair.
Very good.
Who faked having polio because, never mind. It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He didn't fake it. Let's just go with the contest.
Well, you got 1 more, you win, and you're probably going to get it right here, right now. What is the capital of the state of California?
That would be, as Steve Summers used to say, Sacramento.
Very good. Why was he? The Kings. They were good back then. Chris Webber and Vlade Divac. All right, you've already won today's game. Let's see how much better you do. If you get this one right, I'll be surprised. This famous Edgar Allan Poe book, published in 1843, featured the main plot point of the titular object being hidden under floorboards.
Titular.
And, well, that's what I said, buddy. It's a bad word.
Yeah, under the floorboards. Yeah. I do know the book.
You do?
Yes, I do know it. Hold on a second.
Yeah, well, you're out of time. It's called the
Raven.
The Telltale Heart.
The Telltale Heart. I've actually read it. I actually read it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, Edgar Allan Poe he used to live up on the off the Grand Concourse.
I do know that, yes. There's actually a street named after him, I think, or somewhere in the Bronx, right?
The house is still there.
Yeah. This is a very near and dear question to me because the first time
it's Grand Concourse.
Oral sex or something. Wow. Anyway, yeah, that's true. The New York City Bridge, it's true, is the longest suspension bridge in the country. What bridge is it? If you know my history, you know the answer.
Oh, it would have to be the Verizon. Of course. I know a man who was an iron worker. I used to live with the family.
He died?
Yes.
A lot of guys died building that bridge.
But anyway, he was an iron worker, and I used to live in, his son was in the Navy. Mm. And while his son was in the Navy, he let me live in his son's room.
Oh, wow. And he died building the bridge?
But I was out of the house when I was 18.
Sure.
No, he didn't die.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, at one point over the bridge, he actually had a friend die. He had a friend at the end. The towers were built. The suspensions were not built yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, a guy slipped out of his hands. He was actually holding the guy.
Oh, come on.
That's the story he told me anyway.
I don't know. 4-2 is your final score today. Bernie gets the win over Marianne from Bayside. Marianne, say hello to Bernard.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Bernie. Hi, Bernard. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you out in Bayside, which is, by the way, I admire from the Cross Island Parkway every time I pass by.
Yes, I know. Yes. Yeah, I'm very... Yeah, it's very nice out here, too.
It's gorgeous.
All the leaves, the trees and everything.
You go to that park next to the water there across the highway?
No, I go to Crowsham Park. And there's another park that's near a school that's very nice.
Cunningham Park, right? No, that's not Pace. Yeah, I think it is.
No, that's not it. No, no Cunningham Park is not it.
Right. Did you vote in the mayoral election yesterday?
Crowshawn Park.
No, did you vote for Curtis Sliwa yesterday, Marianne?
I certainly did.
You are beautiful. Well, listen, you played great today. We enjoyed having you on the show, and thank you for playing, and God bless you, okay? God bless you.
Yeah, same to you. God bless you, and God bless Sid and Bernie and everybody at WABC.
Thank you, Marianne. We love you. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, we'll close it out on the phones. 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Stay informed all day on 77 WABC. Bernie and Sid in the Morning now. Brian Kilmeade next at 10.
Are you in or are you out?
On 77 WABC.
Wrapping up another great Bernie and Sid show on this Wednesday morning, our esteemed program director, David Labrosi, who's been doing a bang-up job on the news. I love his voice. He's got a very sexy voice.
That's not me.
Listen to those pipes. Listen to those Barry White-like pipes.
You do,
Shut up,
you've got an amazing... I miss... you do have an amazing voice, honestly.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Well, you don't like to be
No, I hate it, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But go ahead. Continue.
No, that's okay, because Dan Lebatard used to tell me the same thing, and he would get angry when his callers would compliment him. And then he walked into a sales meeting one day, and he said, listen, besides Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal, I'm the third most important sports figure here in Miami. So that was a guy who claimed didn't like to be complimented, but was quick to tell the staff how important he was.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between compliments and confidence.
Oh, yeah.
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 Uh-oh, we're getting to, is that a shot at Sid? Is that some sort of circuitous shot?
I thought it was.
But he loves me. I love Sid. Yes. I love you too, Bernie.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, wear socks tomorrow, please.
I am wearing socks. I have believe it or not, I have shoes to switch into in my car.
Yes. Yeah, he has a wait to go today, so it's a very sad story. So you got it. You're going to be very busy here.
My condolences.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next couple of months, when you consider that now we're going to gear up for the big mayor election, and you got Curtis Sliwa, our very own, winning his side. Election day in November, so it's going to be a very busy time for you.
It's going to be. It never stops.
Right.
But that's what we love. That's why we do what we do. Right?
No, we don't. We do it because we get paid, Dave. What are you talking about? Oh, you don't get paid?
Well, I do, but
not much.
It is not on the Sid and Bernie scale, that's for sure.
It's a labor of love, you're saying.
It's absolutely. It beats working for a living. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but you'd much rather be spinning Bachman Turner Overdrive records right now, right?
No, absolutely not. Why would you even say that?
I don't know, because I feel that way.
Or it wouldn't be Bachman Turner Overdrive. It'd be the Commodores and the OJs and Motown. There you go. See, there you go.
We're talking in Pittsburgh Pirate baseball right now.
Oh, there you
right
go.
Outside of Froggies.
Getting ready for Stillers.
Stillers
in July.
Yeah, I love when they say
love this.
I love it. You're in the middle of the most
important city in the world, essentially.
The capital of the world, in the thick of everything. As the Mr. Mayor says, it's the capital of the world.
And you've done an amazing job. I mean, you left WPLJ. You were thrown into this thing. And you've done it.
I was welcomed to the position.
Well, I mean, you got thrown into it.
It's not like I got thrown from the PLJ studios.
But you got Craig Schwab fired, and then you came over here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I love Craig. Craig's a great guy. Okay, do we have to hit the news now? Isn't it time for the news?
Yeah, we got another...
What time does Kilmeade come on?
We got another 90 seconds.
Seriously, you do a great job with this station. A great job. It's a really good job.
Team effort with everybody. We have a great team.
We do.
So I just sit in my office and point at people.
Hey, listen,
all day
when the Yankees won four World Series, Joe Torre got the credit. You're our coach, so thank you.
By the way, speaking of which, Joe Girardi yesterday almost had a fight with Max Scherzer.
I saw that. Was great.
Did you see that?
It was great.
That was terrific.
That was awesome.
And Girardi will fight. Girardi's not scared.
Girardi looks like he could play still.
He's a beast. He's a beast. Yeah.
And Max Scherzer, though, he doesn't look like he's in shape, but he looks like a psycho.
Well, he talks himself on the... You love that. He talks himself on the mound.
A great rumble that would be. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
He's got a little bit of the... you remember him, the Mad Hungarian.
Of course.
Al Raboski.
Played for the Cardinals.
Very good. And the Royals and all that. Yeah. So he's got some of that in him.
And then, there's another pitcher, too. They actually patted this guy down for like four times.
It's getting out of hand.
Sergio Romo, he took his pants down. He took his pants down. Yeah.
Was it Seattle? Sandy, I forget. I saw
San Francisco,
the video.
I forget also.
You know what? Let him use the stick. I guess it takes away from hitting.
Yes,
that's what Michael
Kay was
saying.
People are sick of watching guys hit 230. So that's
and right. All these no hitters.
Yeah, too much of that. Yeah.
Then you take away control, and guys get hit between the eyes, and people get mad at that.
What are you going to do? Can't make anybody happy ever.
You
right?
know what I'm saying?
Amen to that, bro.
Yeah. Anything big happening today? Quickly in the last 20 seconds on the station, we need to know about. Another election central this afternoon, or no?
Yeah, I think Curtis. There's a press conference today. Okay, right. I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was on with us this morning, so we had that. We are done for today. We hope you enjoyed the Wednesday edition. Big show tomorrow. Dr. Mark Siegel, Bill O'Reilly, Luke Pettigrew, to name a few. Congratulations to Curtis Sliwa once again.
Yeah, Curtis.
From all of us to all of you. Until 6:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Peace.